I'm going to present some very initial results on the impact of really the relationship between universities and firms in terms of knowledge links, emphasising firm-level productivity. The source of this information is from the government's Community Innovation Survey, which is conducted roughly every 2 years. That survey, conducted by the ONS on behalf of what used to be DTI, achieves a response rate of about 56% and therefore gets a return of about 16,000 firms. So if there's a problem with the data, it's their problem rather than the collection of the data I've been involved in. So as I said, it's looking at the Community Innovation Survey, the latest one, the results of which are only beginning to come through government. The data is not yet available to the general public. It can only be accessed through the ONS. What we're going to look at, what the emphasis is on, is which firms engage with HEIs in terms of sourcing information and in terms of cooperation. I'm actually going to read out the two questions that are actually asked in the survey so you know what it is that we're measuring. And then secondly, it's to look at the impact of HEI involvement on productivity, on labour productivity. We haven't actually done the innovation side of things yet, which is to look at the link between HEI directly on innovation output. We're concentrating here on productivity. And we're also going to consider the role of graduate employment in terms of these two. So as I said, it's preliminary. There's lots yet to be done. And any ideas and comments are very welcome. So let me, just before I start running through some basic statistics, read out the question, because I think it's important. It saves you having to think what exactly is being measured. So the two questions that are asked, and we've pulled this to get the information on HEI linkage, is how important to the business's innovation-related activities were each of the following information sources, and then there's a long list, of which one is universities or other higher education institutions. But then, as Mike has gone through, you know, there's obviously things, links with suppliers, clients, public and private sector R&D institutions, whatever, but we're picking out the HEI. And we're combining that with the answer on if firms did cooperate in terms of their innovation activities, they are asked which types of cooperation partner did this business use and where were they located. And we're not looking at the location, but one of the business partners is universities or other higher education institutions. So we're picking out those two pieces of information, and that is the basis for this kind of analysis. So here is the percentage of enterprises that source knowledge from HEIs based on those two questions. The average for the UK is 22.8%. All these figures are weighted using weights within the database, so they're nationally representative. I should say these are Great Britain figures at the moment, not because we want to exclude Northern Ireland, who are in the survey, but we've matched this data into something called the ARD. I'm not going to go into details. So we have extra variables. And currently in the ONS, they only cover the Great Britain side of the ARD, although I do have access to the Northern Ireland one, so I can merge them at a later date. So 22.8%, should say GB, not UK average, but I doubt that would change. Something like 70% of enterprises in the coke and petroleum products sector source information. That's a very large percentage. And here we have the hierarchy moving all the way down. Look for your favorite industries and whether you think it's an expected list or not. And then the next slide gives the bottom end of the hierarchy. So air transport, 3.3%. You know, I'm not going to comment on why. These are the way the figures map out. So, you know, even if you look at the leather and footwear industry, 24% are engaging, are linking in. If you look at those figures in terms of a regional breakdown, as I said, Northern Ireland excluded from this, you can see we've broken it down into the production sector and the service sector because there is more interaction with the production sector and it's pulling it out separately. So the Northwest is at the top of that league table in terms of interaction, and the eastern region is at the bottom. overall Scotland, I suppose I have to emphasise that given that that's where I currently work, does have a high level of interaction on both fronts, both production and services. And this is leaving out, for the large part, financial services which are not covered. They're covered in CIS, but not in the ARD to any large extent. By size of firm, well, as you'd expect, interaction is very size dominated, but not in the sense of, you know, as you move to the large firms, it jumps up dramatically. The differential really is with the micro, the very small firms, which have much lower levels of interaction. So moving on to what we're trying to do, as I said at the beginning, there's two emphases at the moment of the research. One is who interacts with the HEIs, and secondly, what's the impact on productivity. So graduate employment. This is just looking at the percentage of the workforce with degrees. So CIS obtains information on what proportion of your workforce are graduates, and I've broken that down just to show probably what is an expected differentiation between those that, yes, have graduates and those that don't. No, the yellow. Overall, it's about 18% of the workforce are estimated to be graduates in the market-based economy. But in firms that do have graduates, they're far more likely to be product innovators, far more likely to be process innovators, far more likely to export, and far more likely to be foreign-owned. All of the characteristics, I think, which you would expect to be more positively linked to employing more graduates. Okay, coming on to the econometric bit, there's no equations. There are some tables, and that's why I've given you the handout, so you get a better feel for it. But I'm not going to concentrate on that side. But this is the kind of variables that we've got available to actually link in to try to understand who engages the HEIs and what impact do they have. So we know, obviously, things like whether knowledge was sourced, and I've already read out the questions for that. We know the size of companies, how many graduates they've got. We've banded them. We've got the age of the establishment, how many its employs. We know its capital stock, hence we know its capital intensity. We know its labour productivity. We know if it's a single plant enterprise as opposed to part of a wider group. We know the exports, whether it's foreign owned. We know about its innovation activities. We've measured absorptive capacity. Now, I could go into a lot of detail about how we did that, but I haven't got time. But just to say that we have tried to make an estimate for the extent to which firms internalize external knowledge. We have knowledge on knowledge sourcing activities, the type of R&D it does. We have barriers to innovation from the CIS survey. We have measures of agglomeration, so we have spillover effects. We obviously know which industry it's in, and we know which region it's in, and we weight the data so that it's nationally representative. So if we move on to the results for what determines which enterprises actually link in, i.e. obtain knowledge from HEIs, first of all, let me concentrate on the size effect here. Really, all that's showing you, to a large extent, we've got all sectors, the production sector and the service sector separately, is that really it's not the smallest. There isn't any major size differentiation that's going across the different size bands. These are all against the benchmark the group's missing, which is the very smallest ones. So it picks up basically that earlier diagram. It's just replicating it in the data. The exception perhaps the service sector a bit, where it's really the largest firms enterprise which are much more likely to engage. In terms of characteristics, single plant enterprises, interestingly enough, are more likely to engage. Exporters are more likely to engage, but if the company, the enterprise is foreign owned, it's less likely to engage. Presumably it's engaging in other networks, including the multinational network in which it originates. The type of research that it's, in terms of innovation activities of the company, well, mostly it's novel type innovations. If the firm is engaged in what we've labeled here blue sky innovation, novel innovation, you know, innovations which are new to market, and or they're involved in patenting their innovation, then they're much more likely to be linked into the HEI sector. The interesting one here is if you look at the production sector, the negative relationship to product innovations. Product innovations are clearly where companies commercially bring into play innovations. They've commercially made viable that innovation. And in the production sector, mostly manufacturing, when that occurs, they're less likely to engage, presumably because they don't need, you know, the kind of innovation is not really linked into the HEI sector. In terms of the type of knowledge sourcing strategies, really, when we say make only, what that means is intramural R&D. The different types of R&D are intramural, done internally, extramural, they buy it in, and they cooperate. So basically what those figures are showing you is that if the firm is involved in intramural, it does R&D internally, then it's more likely to engage with HEIs. It has that capacity, it has that something to gain and something to bring. And I don't know if you can see, but there are yellow squares around the bottom, but the human capital. What that's basically saying is the more graduates, the more likely the enterprise is to engage in links with the higher education sector, possibly because graduates bring in with them a knowledge of universities, also because, of course, we're measuring higher levels of graduates with higher, associating that with higher human capital. The next is the absorptive capacity measures. I'm not going to go through all the different types, haven't got time, nor how we construct them, although quite happy to go through that with anyone who wants to know. Effectively, it's saying the higher the absorptive capacity of the enterprise, the more likely it is to source knowledge from universities. And in particular, that's true of that external knowledge. It has the largest, in fact. And that external knowledge, so if the firm is engaged in networks and it's externally acquiring knowledge from a whole host of different sources, then it's also more likely to engage with the university sector.
5 minutes.
Yep, and lastly, barriers to innovation. That's basically saying that firms are more likely to link in with HEIs if it's an attempt to offset economic risk. Okay, moving on to the impact of universities. So what we're measuring here is labour productivity. Can we model labour productivity for all sectors, production sectors and the service sector? And we have a whole bundle of variables that have gone in there that link in that are determinants of productivity. The first result is that I'm highlighting here is the if the firm obtained knowledge, in other words, had the links that we've just been looking at with HEIs, you can see there's a positive impact. So having knowledge, getting knowledge from HEIs has a positive, significant impact on productivity. But then put that into context that we combine the foreign-owned variable with the knowledge, with whether the company sourced knowledge from HEIs. And when you bring in that joint relationship, you get a negative response. So if you are a foreign-owned company sourcing information from HEIs, your productivity is lower. Explanation, there are different types of FDI, and one type of FDI is, in fact, technology sourcing. Not exploiting of better technology, but sourcing. The companies come here to the UK to exploit the technology of the UK to source it back to their home country. So that's what you're picking up, I think, in this particular instance. Graduate links to productivity. If you have no graduates, you have lower productivity. If you have more graduates, you have higher productivity. There's an inverted U-shaped in terms of the size bands, but the basic message is the more graduates you have, the higher is your labour productivity, which is good news all round, I think. And then lastly, in terms of the sort of a size impact, yes, there is a positive size impact, particularly in the production sector. So larger enterprises in production exploit economies of scale, have more productivity, not in the service sector. Totally different patterns. Larger firms in the service sector tend to have lower labour productivity, even though they're more labour intensive. Okay, this is just the conclusion, so I've probably got about 1 minute, and that's roughly what I need. Summarising it all, linkages with HEIs for knowledge cooperation is high. About 23% of market-based firms in Great Britain did so in 2006. More so in the northwest, northeast, southeast, and Scotland. About 18% of the workforce in these firms were graduates. That's more prevalent if the firm is innovative or international. In terms of the use of HEIs, more likely to have links if you're an exporter, less if you're foreign-owned, more likely if you're engaged in more novel innovation, more likely if you are undertaking intramural, less likely if it's extramural R&D because of the less need for universities, more likely if higher absorptive capacity, more likely if you're wanting to offset the risks of higher innovation. In terms of the impact on productivity, UK-owned firms sourcing knowledge from HEIs do benefit, but foreign-owned firms have lower labour productivity. There isn't a beneficial effect because they're technology sourcing, or that's the implication. Firms with no graduates have lower productivity, but those with have higher. And lastly, large manufacturing firms are more productive, which is what we tend to find from these such surveys. Thanks.
Thank you very much indeed.